Now, we all know that life can be demanding, and many of us might say that that's sort of the normal mode for our life. We all live under many pressures and responsibilities. Some of them get put upon us, others we put upon ourselves. And our responsibilities can quickly become all-encompassing and very easily if we let them. And likely we all know this, and so we fight very hard against it. Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. And when we feel overwhelmed by life, we can begin to lose perspective. And if we let this go, we can continue down a spiraling path of burdensome life and a loss of spirituality. But if we keep spiritual perspective, we can grow stronger and live more joyfully and successfully in the Lord. We know as Christians that life's burdens are bearable. They can even be joyfully lived through when we live through them with a spiritual perspective according to the Word of God and with His strength. It requires from us a continued faithfulness in our relationship with God through the various means of grace that He provides us. These are ways in which He gives us His constant power, and there are many. But four non-negotiable ways in which we receive from the Lord: our life in church, being here, being with one another, studying the Word alone and together, time in prayer spent alone and together, and doing ministry work, whether it's by yourself or with the group. And sometimes Christians let the wrong things go first, and they don't even realize what they're doing. If we can keep our spiritual priorities, those four things I listed, it'll keep our perspective. But if we compromise such priorities, we'll lose perspective. Now, hopefully that will be a short-lived experience for most of us. But if given enough time and compromise, it can take a while to escape the worldly wasteland and return to spiritual reality. And it will often require our friends to help us. Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38 through 42. And may our Lord succeed in teaching us to get perspective on life and to keep it. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So what we learn today is that Jesus' disciples learn from the Word, not just when it's convenient, but as a first priority. And Luke presents the famous story of Martha and Mary to highlight the contrast of priorities. Luke, in verses 38 to 40, worldly priorities are on display. And verses 41 to 42, spiritual priorities are on display. Now, this whole little larger section of Luke, starting back in 25, going through 11, 13, there are three samplings of Jesus' teaching that fit together well as a discipleship lesson. Like last week, we looked at looking to one's neighbor. Today, we're going to be talking about looking to Jesus, and next week, looking to God in verses 11, 1 to 13. Well, today we're going to learn about sitting at the feet of Jesus, our Lord, as his disciples and learning from the Word. Today it is convenient for us, but even when it isn't convenient, it needs to be a first priority. So first, worldly priorities are put on display. Martha receives Jesus. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And so in verse 38, we have Martha receiving Jesus. In verses 39 to 40, Martha complaining to Jesus. Well, Jesus and his disciples are traveling again, and it's typical that they need hospitality. And this particular village is Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And Mary and Martha are sisters of Lazarus, and all three are close friends of Jesus. It's very likely that Jesus has visited them before. And Martha is the one who greets him, and it's often assumed that she's older, it's her home, and that she's unmarried. Now, later on in John chapter 11, Jesus would later visit them, and he would be told of Lazarus, his friend, being ill. He gets delayed, and Lazarus dies. Jesus has an important theological discussion then with the sisters, and then Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead dramatically, and many believe in him. And then in John chapter 12, Jesus would be eating with the three of them about a week before his crucifixion, and Mary would anoint Jesus for this work he was about to accomplish. So there's a lot of interaction with Martha and Mary over the course of Jesus' ministry. Now, Luke briefly explains the actions of Martha and Mary and deliberately shows us a contrast. Mary was listening to every word of the Lord, seated at his feet as a true disciple of his. Now, it's unique here that women were not allowed in this position in the culture to be a disciple of a rabbi. But Jesus allowed it. Luke told us about this earlier, and now we get a specific detailed example. In Luke 8:1, it came about soon afterwards that he began going about from one city to a village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Well, Mary's put forth as a model disciple for his readers. Now, Martha probably wanted to listen too, but she was burdened and distracted by hostess duties. And sure, there could have been some sibling rivalry type things going on as well. But Martha has a skewed perspective of what's really needed for hospitality duties at the moment. It seems that she wanted everything to be perfect, too perfect even. She's distracted by her much service, it says in the text. Really, what has happened is worldliness has grabbed her. And she asks the Lord Jesus if he sees and cares what's going on, knowing he does, and so she asks for his help. She's slaving away for Jesus and his companions by herself, doing all the serving alone, the text says. Most likely, Mary had already helped with what was necessary because it said that she left. And so she left her sister to listen to Jesus, just like Martha should have done at this point. Mary says nothing in this story. Did you notice that? Just like the sinful woman back in chapter 7 at Simon the Pharisee's house. Mary, too, is a silent example and an object of commentary for Jesus to make a point. We're to look at Mary and listen to Jesus as he interprets the situation for us. Jesus uses the situation to make a significant point that would be remembered by his disciples. Martha is misfocused at this point, and Mary is rightly focused. We have to be careful, though, not to overread one incident as illustrating the whole of their character for the whole of their lives. Wouldn't that be unfortunate? Mary and Martha are not necessarily always like this. This is just one day. You wouldn't want people to do that to you, I'm sure. So Martha is wrongly burdened, though, because of not keeping her priorities aligned. And as a result, she sees what Mary is doing as wrong when really what Mary's doing is right. And even by Jesus not addressing the situation, she sees what he's doing as wrong when it's actually right. The distractions of life and even good service, if allowed, can be harmful for our spiritual health and our relationship with others if it replaces learning from Jesus and the Word. So worldly priorities and perspective are displayed here by Martha. We too can be too busy with even good things and miss out on the best or even what's better. We need to know when to serve and when to learn. And our tendency is often to put off the learning and to be absorbed in the doing. Truly, this can be quite a challenge at times, and it's not always easy, we know. We must confess that we're not always as wise as Mary, and sometimes we fail like Martha. And when we do fail, it's good to have this passage and to hear the Lord Jesus gently tell Martha and us to get perspective. This is something we all need to hear at times. The Jesus' disciples learn from the Word, not just when it's convenient, but as a first priority. Well, next, spiritual priorities are commended. The main reason this whole story is even in Luke is because of the response that Jesus brings, the focus. So Jesus corrects Martha in verse 41, and he commends Mary in verse 42. Verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. So notice first off, this Jesus is called Lord now for the third time. Luke's point is that Jesus truly rules over us and has a claim on our living of our lives. Jesus shows compassion toward Martha as seen in the gentle repeating of her name and appreciating the so many things that she is doing in service to him and his group. He also points out that she's overwhelmed by them and stressed out, and she really brought this on herself. She's forgotten how to evaluate what's necessary and how to evaluate a particular situation for what's the best thing to be doing and when and how. It can happen to the best of us. Each situation is going to be different, and it requires spiritual wisdom. Hospitality can be a very tricky thing. Jesus is gently putting things in perspective for Martha and everyone present that day. She is missing out on the most important person in her home, who's extremely important, Jesus, and an unusual opportunity that she has to learn from him right now because he's going to be moving on in a day or two. Also, Jesus points out that she's getting upset with her sister for no good reason, for worldly reasons. Martha's anxious and troubled, as our translation says. Others say worried and bothered. These words are chosen purposefully because they signify worldliness. Martha, even as a disciple of Jesus, is given into worldly priorities and values at the moment. You know, if you find yourself anxious about life, it's possible that your priorities are misaligned. If you find yourself critical of other disciples, it's possible your priorities are misaligned. If you find yourself drifting from the life of the church, it's likely your priorities are probably misaligned. Well, then Jesus goes on to commend Mary in verse 42. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This part, the final words, are the most important ones upon which to focus our thoughts. Now, most translations read as I read, but one thing or only one thing is necessary, meaning learning from Jesus. Some of your translations, based on other manuscripts, would read, but only a few things are necessary, meaning the serving, only a few of it, the basics. Some other manuscripts and some translations are going to read, but only a few things are necessary, really only one, talking about serving and then talking about learning. Now, regardless of the difficulty of the text, and it is a difficult one to make a decision on, the point is clear enough for us this morning. One thing is necessary. Jesus is making the point that basic food and hospitality would do this time for this visit. He's also making the point that one crucial matter of importance, and that is learning from him. He's also making the point for us through Luke that this is the number one priority for us as disciples, it's really to learn. Remember the hasty, hesitant, half-certain would-be disciples from chapter 9? Remember in the dialogue with Jesus how demanding his discipleship is? And again, in this episode, we're reminded how much he requires from his followers. He requires us to be constant learners. Well, Martha's commitments on this day at this time are wrong. She exchanged the spiritual for the worldly. Martha should sit down and relax and enjoy what her sister's listening to and learning from Jesus. Mary's chosen the better portion, spending time with Jesus rather than serving excessively. Jesus makes clear to Martha he's not going to do as she asks. She's not going to take away from Mary her rightful choice. He's not going to make Mary do the worldly thing to satisfy her sister's complaint. The meal, actually, that Jesus is serving up, that'll last far longer than the food that Martha's preparing. And it reminds us of a passage in Deuteronomy. And that is this one. God humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So it's a reminder of that passage that learning the word of God is even more important than food at times, and certainly than service at times. Spiritual priorities and perspectives are commended of Mary by Jesus here. It's of utmost importance to stay close to Jesus, our Savior. Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. As for me, the nearness of God is my good." And, you know, you think about it, one of the very first discipleship lessons that we teach new believers is about the devotional life. In other words, we teach them how to have a quiet time or time with the Lord or devotional time, whatever we call it. That's one of the very first things we teach them. And we take them through portions of Psalm 119 and the blessings of the Word of God and what it's going to bring into their life. And we teach them from 1 Peter 2:2, for example, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good." Jesus' disciples are to learn from the word, not just when it's convenient, but as a first priority. Luke is making a significant point about discipleship, yet again in this gospel account. Through the worldliness of Martha that one day and the spirituality of Mary that same day, the church is blessed with this passage of scripture in Jesus' own words. Jesus himself teaches us how to live as his disciples. That is by learning from the word of God as a first priority. How does your typical day and week play itself out? What would you say is the pattern in your life month after month? Is it more of a Mary-like pattern or more of a Martha-like pattern? Sometimes we live as Martha, sometimes we live as Mary, but hopefully we're growing to be more Mary-like and less Martha-like, according to this passage. We need to learn the balance of the realms of life. That needs constant attention to balance work and church and family and other commitments, and of course, time in the Word and prayer. We must keep on learning to do all of our responsibilities well with a spiritual perspective. One verse that comes to mind is Philippians 4:6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer," that is by prayer, notice, "and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We must not let our busyness keep us from the word and spiritual pursuits. When we think, "I don't have time," we need to choose that which is the better. And when we think about our days, how often we need the right perspective to handle the stress in our life. The solution is to get spiritual perspective on a daily basis and with a daily time in the word and prayer. And by the way, this is a foundational lesson that we should model and teach to our children and instruct them how to do it. The Lord has first claim on our time and our priorities as disciples anyway. It's not a bare duty that we're talking about here, but it's actually a building of a relationship with the Lord. That's what makes it so inviting and powerful. So if we keep the spiritual priority of the Word of God, then we'll keep our spiritual perspective. That's the enduring lesson that day when Mary and Martha hosted Jesus in their home. If we keep spiritual priority of the Word of God, then we will keep our spiritual perspective. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we do pray for that, our spiritual priority in the Word of God, that you would drive it to us to that so that we would keep our spiritual perspective. Let us have our anxieties in life be met with a spiritual perspective and dealt with and assuaged. And let us also model for others the life of a life lived in the Word. And we pray these things for the glory of Jesus. Amen.